Good morning. I'm doing the obligatory counting your communions before you get up here and do communion. This for me is 1,470. Since I became a Christian on February 2nd, 1995, so what that tells you is I'm older than I look, or I became a Christian really young. I love that song. I actually wanted to try something a bit different today. Most of those 1,470 communions have felt pretty similar to me. And so if you guys give me permission, we're going to do something a little different today. All right. So I want to read the very first account of the very first communion. And I'm going to read from Luke 22, verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you.'" And so I look at this and I said, okay, let me learn something new. God, get some new wine here from this old story that I've thought about and read hundreds and thousands of times. And so I said, all right, what's really going on here? And what occurred to me is Jesus is hijacking the Passover meal and he's making it something different, something new, something better. He's creating communion for us. And they're all reclining at the table. They're eating, they're drinking, they're lounging, they sing a hymn. They had some deep conversations. And so there's kind of an engagement going on in this table. And then he asked them to remember him. And it occurred to me, he didn't just ask them to remember his death or his resurrection like we did last year. He just said, remember me. Remember all of me. And yet for most of my 1,470 communions, I spend most of my time thinking about his death, this somber experience. And so I thought, okay, if Jesus had just died then shortly after this and they got together to have communions with some of the early church, what do I think that would have looked like? Right? Let's go back and see what we thought it looked like. So the church is growing. There's lots of Christians becoming Christians who never knew Jesus, who never saw him, never walked with him, never were in his presence. But yet there were some who were. And so those who were around him were probably telling stories to those who weren't because they didn't have the Bible like we do. And so those who knew him are telling stories. They had some food. They had fellowship. They told stories, memories of Jesus. I like to think it was probably more of a celebration meal than a memorial meal, right? We've had lots of memorials as a church lately, and that's been real difficult. And what do we do at a memorial? We don't talk about their death. We talk about their life. And we make it as much of a celebration of life as we can. And the best memorials are the ones where you walk out full of joy. And so they talked about his death, his resurrection, the promise of the Spirit. I like to think that their communions were more of a Sunday vibe and less of a Friday vibe, if you know what I mean. Like we just celebrated Easter last week, and that's the one Sunday a year where we remind ourselves communion is a celebration. But I think they probably didn't think as much about his death as the moment where they saw him alive and the promise for them to have his Holy Spirit. And so I like to think if you're sitting around in a room and you're having a meal and someone says, hey, I remember this time when Jesus and we're walking in this street and it's full of people. The crowd was ridiculous. They were being completely rude and knocking us over and bumping us over. And this moment, Jesus just stopped walking and he looked up and he said, who touched me? And we were like, Jesus, you're crazy. Everybody's touching you. And yet he knew somebody touched him. And he said, I felt power go out from me. And we were all like, what in the world does that mean, Jesus? Power go out from you. And yet this woman comes forward and admitted that she had touched him and that she was sick. And Jesus is compassion, not anger. And he looked at this woman and she was healed and she walked away full of joy. And everybody was amazed. Like I imagine that's the type of stories they're telling in their time of communion. They're sitting around having a meal, telling each other some incredible things about Jesus. And so that's what I want to do today. We're talking a lot about stories. And so I want to let you guys tell some stories today for our communion. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to pass out the trays. And while they're passing, we're not going to be silent and sit and think to ourselves. We're going to have a couple microphones, and I'd like you to raise your hand and share a very brief, less than a minute, if you can, your favorite Jesus moment from the Bible. Something that you just absolutely love, a story about Jesus in the Bible. We're going to do that while we're passing the cup, while we're passing the juice, and we're just going to remember Jesus' life together as a community. Sound good? You guys okay with that? Maybe a little bit of a record scratch moment for some of us. We're so used to silence or meditation during communion, but today we're going to tell stories. And so let's pray. God, we're so grateful that your Son became flesh. God, that he walked on this earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he sacrificed everything for us, but even more, that he rose from the dead and that he gave us his Spirit. God, thank you for giving us the Bible so that we can see all these stories, so that we can know everything he did and just be in awe of his life and the way that he lived for us. God, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this cup that represents his flesh and his blood poured out for us. But God, thank you for this community, that we can commune together, that we can remember Jesus together as a group of people. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I got my microphone, people. Who wants to go first? Go ahead, Levi.
One of my favorite stories about Jesus is when he and his disciples were just passing through a little town. I don't even know if they're passing through, maybe passing by a town called Nain. And he saw a widow grieving her only son and her only family member, probably. And he raised him back to life just because he felt compassion for her.
That's awesome. So. All right. Andrew, you got one over there? There you go, Corey.
I think one of my favorite stories about Jesus was in one of his final days when he was with his disciples. And kind of one of the last messages he wanted to send to them was to take care of one another. And so he washed their feet, and he took this very, like, humble servant position and was like, you need to do this for one another. And just that idea of washing the world off of our feet as we live this life and doing that with one another.
That's awesome. Next. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, when I was 20 years old and was a pagan and started learning about Jesus, I was reading through the story in the book of John, and it got to where he was, they were trying to trap him, and they showed him a denarius, and they said, you know, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And, you know, I was kind of there like, oh, they got him now. What's he going to say? And then, you know, he said, well, show me the coin, and, you know, whose face is it? Smarter than I was, and I needed, no, I'm serious. That was like a revelation. It's like, Jesus is smarter than me. I need to learn more about him.
That's
so
awesome.
That was a turning point for me.
Awesome.
When you said that, Nick, the first thing that came to mind was the woman that was caught in adultery. And I can be judgmental in my brain. And the way that Jesus just kind of sit down and said, hey, you know, he who, you know, is without sin cast the first stone, and then letting the folks think about it, and everybody turned away. I mean, it was just Jesus saying, hey, look, we're all in this, you know, you're all in the same place.
Yeah.
Love one another.
Amen. All right.
Interesting that you used that story today, because I was sick for many, many years, 17 years. And that woman looked for all the help in all these doctors and couldn't find it. And as almost as a last resort, she said, there he is. I'm going to try this. It's amazing. At that time, I thought, okay, doctors, God, lead me to the right doctor. Eventually he did. 17 years later, I'm in remission. So that is my story.
That's awesome.
In Mark 5, verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue's leader's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." I love that, because everybody's saying, "She's dead, give it up, give up." Jesus is like, he ignores him. Don't worry about it, believe. So that's awesome.
My favorite story is when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, not because he rose Lazarus, because he cried because of all the compassion of everybody else.
That's my favorite Jesus story, too. Yeah. Who'd you give the mic to?
All There's right. a lot of favorites.
Yes.
So the one that comes to mind is when, after he was raised from the dead and Mary went to the tomb and didn't recognize him, when he said, "Mary," and she just knew. Because I feel like there's times in my life when I feel like Jesus is gone and he just says, "Barbara."
My favorite one is Jesus, he must have been out on a prayer walk and, you know, I don't know if he had his eyes closed and ended up on the water and go, "Oh, cool." Kept walking and kind of scared the guys on the boat. They thought he was a ghost and, you know, just... I love that, you know, he's just in that thought of, you know, this is not my world, this is not where I am, and, you know, why did you doubt to Peter, you know, the whole story. It's great.
That's awesome. All right. A couple more.
Okay. So my favorite story is in Luke 8:1-3, and it says, "After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases." I'll stop there, but that was a big deal to me. I'm a victim of abuse, and so when I first came into the church and met all of these really good people who hadn't partied and done all that I did, I felt so dirty and bad, but I looked at this scripture and saw that the women that Jesus had traveling around with him to proclaim the good news were women like me that had diseases or illnesses, and so these people would have known that. And I think that speaks to Jesus' character, because otherwise he could have picked the purest virgins and everything, but he chose people, women, that were the least of these.
That's awesome. Let's do one more over here.
I'm thinking about Matthew 9:28, when he approached the blind man. And he asked, "Do you believe I can do this?" And the blind man replied, "Yes, Lord." And I think about when I was wanted to have a child, and I was in my 30s, and I had two miscarriages, and I was becoming very faithless. And I think about God telling me, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And he did.
That's awesome. Amen. Well, that was a nice little memorial, huh? You like that? Well, we can do that anytime we want. Around the table, at church, during fellowship. I think this is the call, is not to once a week have 30 seconds of meditation, but to actually remember Jesus and talk about him as a community.